Shavuos, Perek Beis, Mishnah Beis, 2-2. Okay, this Mishnah is not difficult at all, but it's a little difficult to read. Okay, so let me say what the Mishnah is saying first, and then we'll have to, you know, try to see that in the words. So the basic point of the Mishnah is that the zone that's restricted from entry when one is Tamei, for which the penalty would be an Ola V'Yored, is specifically the Azara, the temple courtyard. That's the area starting from when you leave the Ezras Nashim and go in, moving westward through the gate into what's called the Ezras Yisrael, and then further you have Ezras Kohanim as you go deeper, and all the way to get to essentially, like, you know, the Heichal, passing the Mizbeach and into, like, the Kodesh and Kodesh Kodashim. Okay, so that area, which is 187 amos from east to west and 135 north-south, that is the restricted area. But, you know, once upon a time, when these halachas were given, you know, back in Har Sinai, there was no Beis HaMikdash established in Yerushalayim. It was established later on. So the point is that it's the particular zone isn't Min HaShamayim, and in fact, it's adjustable if, for whatever reason, the Jewish people wanted to expand through their leadership the exact dimensions, they would be entitled to do so if they follow a specific procedure. Our mission is going to basically focus on the procedure, but the point is that wherever the bounds are defined, if procedures follow, those become the new zone that's restricted, for which the penalty would be an Ola V'Yored if one went there in Tumah. And the same procedure applies whether one is expanding the footprint of the Azara or of the whole of the city of Yerushalayim. The city of Yerushalayim is the zone in which one can eat Kachim Kalim and eat his Maaser Sheni, so you could adjust, if you could build more walls, you could expand the city, but there's a procedure, and that very same procedure applies if you want to sort of adjust the dimensions of the Azara itself, as long as procedure is followed, so then the new zone is conferred with that Kedusha, and the restrictions apply. So that's what our Mishnah has to say, and then we'll just detail what the procedures basically are. Now, inside the words read like this: Echad hanichnes la'azara ve'echad hanichnes la'tosefes ha'azara. The same rules apply whether one enters the Azara or to some area which wasn't originally Azara but subsequently was added on to the Azara through this procedure. The penalty would be an Ola V'Yored if one went Betumah. You essentially can put a period over here. I mean, there's a Shin coming next, so it won't allow for a period if you were translating literally, but the point is, we're now going to lapse into talking about how that there's a possibility for adjusting the dimensions of the Azara and the city and the procedure. So here we go. She'ein mosifin ala ir v'ala azaros ela. The only way for you to legally, effectively adjust the dimensions of both the city of Yerushalayim as well as the Azaros, the various, you know, courtyard, whatever, the various domains inside the Beis HaMikdash, requires, says the Mishnah here, first of all, you need a melech, a king, a navi, a prophet, to sanction it. Then Urim V'tumim, the Kohen Gadol needs to consult with the Urim V'tumim, the breastplate, with the, essentially, you know, it's another kind of Ruach HaKodesh that comes on the lighting up of the breastplate letters. And then Uva Sanhedrin, Shal Shivim V'Echad, and then the full Sanhedrin of Gadol has to also ratify that decision. This really was learned back in Sanhedrin. The basis of those four things really aren't supposed to be Doraisa. It's based on a limud that the Pasuk, in talking about Hashem and talking about the establishment of the Mishkan, yeah, back in Shmos Chaf Hei, Pasuk Tes, he says, "Kochol asher ani mara osecha, eis tavnis ha-mishkan ve'eis tavnis kol keilav." You got to do like everything I show you, both in terms of the structure of the Mishkan, as well as for the structure of the various you know, utensils, kelim inside the Mishkan. And then it says, "Vechein ta'asu," and thus you shall do. That last, and thus shall do, is really miyutar, it's extra. And the yitur, the extra word there, is come to tell you that thus you shall do also in subsequent generations. So just as the procedure required Moshe Rabbeinu, who has a din status of being a melech, a king, and he, of course, was a navi par excellence, the ultimate navi, the prophet, and you had the Arna Cohen, who consulted the Urim V'Tumim, and you had a Sanhedrin, you had the Shivan Zakenim. So you have all those elements, so you have to have the similar elements if you're going to establish the dimensions in later generations. In addition, you have Uvashtei Todos Uvashir. You're going to also need two loaves of bread that come from a Toda offering. That's what I understand this one. The Gemara is done with it. And also shir is accompanied with song, musical accompaniment. And those two things really are coming from Psukim in Nehemiah. Nehemiah, rededicated Yerushalayim's walls in the beginning of the Bayis Sheni period, the very end of the book of Nehemiah in Perek Yud Beis, starting from Pasuk Chav Zayin there. And we essentially learn that what he did tells us what we should do also. What he was doing actually was a little bit symbolic. In other words, he didn't have a king and the like, but he did have, he didn't need it really, because the Kedush that was invested in the Yerushalayim and the Makom HaMikdash existed from before. It perpetuated on, but he sort of symbolically, ceremonially, recalled that by doing additional procedures, which included these carrying of these two loaves of bread and the singing, so we also do that as well. The psukim essentially stay mentioned, though. One important point there is when he talks about, so let me just read it, I guess. So starting from Pasuk Chav Zayin, I'll skip around a bit as I go through, but it says, V'chanukos chomos Yerushalayim bikshu es levi mikol mukomosam lahaviyam Yerushalayim. So in establishing the walls of Jerusalem, he requested all the levim should come to Jerusalem from wherever they were. Lasos chanukah v'simcha betodos v'shir, to establish a rededication, enjoy, thanks, song, and they had different instruments and the like. Then it goes on to say later on, Vamida shtei todos gedolos, I set up two large todos. Now a toda is an animal offering, but this is referring to the toda offering, it's referring to the bread that accompanies it. Okay, and how do you have big bread? Because the idea is that the toda, korban toda, has a total of four different types of bread that accompany it. Three of the four types are matzah, and the fourth type essentially is chametz. Now, the quantity of flour used in each of those 10 loaves of chametz is the same as the quantity used in the, what essentially are 30 loaves. Right, I don't know if I said it, there are 10 loaves of each of the four types. So the same amount of flour that goes to the 10 loaves of chametz is the same as that goes to the 30 loaves of matzah, therefore they're three times as big. So these are the todos gedolos that the pasuk is referring to. Okay, and then they went around. It says in the pasuk they went around to the right as they encircled the wall of Jerusalem. So same thing comes over here. It says our Mishnah inside. Now, the psukim in Nehemiah specified that the order was first went the loaves of bread, behind them went the bezdin, and behind them went the people. So everyone has to follow the loaves of bread. Our Mishnah can't be read in a simple way because it sounds like the people are going, the bezdin is going ahead of the bread, but that's not the case. So the order is bread leads the way, two loaves of bread. Behind them is the Beis Din, the Sanhedrin, and behind them is everyone else who's participating. Upnimis necheles v'chitonus nitzrefes. Now the breads themselves, do not look into this too much. You're not going to be able to like extrapolate any other principles from this din. This din stands alone based on what the Nevi'im of the time, you had Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi back in the time of Nehemiah. They said those two loaves that were used in that process, so one of them gets eaten, one gets burned. The inner one, Panimus, is the eaten one. The outer one, the Chitzonus, is Nisrefes, is the burned one. What constitutes inner and outer? So there's two opinions of what it means. It depends on how they were oriented. Either, there was one that was sort of on the outer edge and one on the inner edge of the boundary. So the outer edge, the farther one away from the boundary, of course, is then the outer one, which was the burned one. Another pshat is they actually were equidistant from the boundaries. The point is, like, one was closer, therefore, to, like, the old, and one was kind of, you know, the one was leading the way, they were equally there, but the point is the one that's closer to the wall is the inner, and the one further from the wall is the outer. So whatever it is, the point is that one of the two is eaten, one is burned, and don't look into that more, try to figure out what that indicates. It doesn't indicate anything, it's a dental to itself. V'chol shlo na'ase b'chol elu, and any time that you attempt to resize the boundaries of the Azara without using this full procedure, hanichnas l'sham, if one enters into that zone, the newly expanded, you know, zone that you attempted to add to it, in chayav and aleha, know that doesn't incur the penalty of olav yor, because it's not invested with the sanctity of a bona fide Azara.